It is very easy to listen to this gospel and to think that this is like a social justice gospel. The rich go to hell and the poor go to heaven. If you suffer on this earth, you have very little things. Don't worry, just pour up with the suffering, because this many times is what we think that faith is about. We think that faith means to have the strength of Jesus. Let me put up with this freaking guy here, this son of a gun. If I am able to deal with all of these problems, I am a good person and I will go to heaven. And there I will relax on my hammock with palm trees, palm branches, being a colada. Do you like pina coladas? Oh no, I'm gonna put you with margaritas. Vodka, tons of vodka, Bud Lights, forever. I don't know. What is this stupid Bud Light? I don't know. Whatever, fantastic, nice movies, relax. I will have in heaven, I will have paradise. But if I am rich and comfortable, then I will go to hell and I will suffer forever. This is not what this gospel is about. This gospel is not about a fight between the rich and the poor. Because we can sit here and think, all those poor people in India, oh my God, how they suffer. And then, who cares? We don't care about them. Because this is not what's going to save them. Money is not what's going to save humanity. On the contrary, this is the problem. That we think that money is what saves mankind. We think that money is the answer to the problems of this world. Having enough money. On the contrary, this is exactly why this gospel is given to you and me today, brothers and sisters. Because this gospel is given to you and me today, not to show us the difference between the rich and the poor. But this gospel comes to show us our situation. Because when we are able to see our situation, then we are able to see what we are doing here. Why am I seated in this tall building? What am I doing here praying for? Just because my grandmother taught me? Just because the nuns told me you better go or you go to hell? Just because I don't know what? No, you have to understand your situation. When you understand your situation, brothers and sisters, then you can discover, find the key to joy, find the key to happiness, find true love, truly see God with the eyes of your heart. You understand? Because in this gospel, it begins where Jesus Christ speaks of this man, of this rich man. If you notice, this rich man doesn't have a name. And God says that he dresses in purple garments every day. Purple garments is the sign of rich. In fact, purple garments were the most expensive garments. For you to wear purple garments every day meant that you wanted to go out and show off to everybody, look, I am full of money, I have many things. Even it says that he dressed also in fine linens. When you look at the Greek word fine linens, doesn't mean tablecloths. Fine linen means, do you know what fine linen means? In Greek, underwear. Rich underwear. Even he had the rich underwear. Can you understand? He was not even cheap. He didn't buy Hanes. He bought Calvin Klein. Is that the most expensive? Somebody has to tell me here because I don't know what the most expensive stuff is. He bought the most expensive. I mean, he spent money on even on the socks, on the underwear. $100, I don't know what the heck. Trying to show up just to be comfortable. To always spend on himself. To live his life for himself. Thinking of himself. To the point, brothers and sisters, that he became blind to this man, Lazarus, who was outside of his door. You have to understand that this man, Lazarus, brothers and sisters, was not there because he was begging for alms. He wasn't there at the door of the house of a rich man begging for anything. Did Christ say this in the gospel? Did Christ say Lazarus was there saying, give me some of your food? No! Even if you read, for example, the original translation, it doesn't say that Lazarus just happened to be laying there. It says that Lazarus was laying there. You understand? It means that somebody put Lazarus in front of his door. God sent Lazarus to the name in the scripture is connected to the meaning of your life. It meant that this man, even though he had everything, had no speaking meaning in his life. He had no meaning in his life because he lived for himself. And because he lived for himself, he was blind to the person in front of his house, which meant he was blind to the person in front of him. And this, brothers and sisters, is what happens to us. When we live for ourselves, we become blind to the people who are in front of us. We become blind to them. Why? Because we do not know them many times. This is exactly why it said that Lazarus was covered with sores. He was blind to him. Do you know why he was blind to Lazarus? Not because he didn't physically see him, but because he didn't see his wounds. Because you have to understand, to truly love somebody doesn't mean just to love them with your feelings. To truly love means to know what makes them suffer. This is what love means. You cannot say, listen to me, you cannot say you love somebody if you do not know what makes them suffer. Because if you do not know what makes them suffer, then you cannot love them. Then you cannot understand them. Then you cannot have mercy on them. Then you cannot forgive them. Then if you understand what makes them suffer, you will stop harboring your stinking resentment, demanding them to be different. You will stop condemning them. You will stop thinking that they are the reason for your sufferings. You will stop blaming them for your problems. You understand, this is why Christ gave his life for us. This is why Christ chose to suffer on the cross. Christ chose to suffer on the cross. Chose to endure his passion. Because he understands what makes us suffer. And this is, he does it because he wants to meet you in your suffering. Because when you understand what makes somebody suffer, you will want to meet them in their suffering. You will not condemn them. You will stop judging them. You understand what I mean. The problem is that we are blind to the suffering of the people around us. This is why we're always blaming them. We don't see their wounds. We see only ourselves. Because we're constantly empty, constantly looking for ourselves. This is why in the gospel it says that the rich man, had how many brothers? Five brothers. Which meant in total they were six.
We're like
six. Of course, six. Anyways, you understand. Six brothers. If they were six in total, in the scripture, six has a negative connotation, which means two important things. The number six meant that man first lives for himself, and the second, that man lives like an animal. When we live for ourselves, we live like an animal. It means that we live running like the rats in the stinking cage. We never go anywhere. I always use the example of a dog. We get up, run around, drink some water, eat some food, go to sleep, wake up, run around, watch some TV, go to work, come home, watch some more TV, go to sleep, wake up. We are waiting for October to go hunt some animals. October is over, we wake up, we wait to go through the snow, we wake up, we wait for football season. We go from thing to thing, season to season, hunting to hunting, weekend to weekend, running around, going to work just to pay bills with no meaning. And the problem is, brothers and sisters, is that we don't see our situation. This is exactly why Abraham says to him, he says to him, but they have Moses and the prophets. And this man says, but if somebody were to rise from the dead, then they would convert. This is exactly what our stinking problem is. Is that we think many times, if God were just to come down from heaven and come with a stinky magic wand and go like this, Because the resurrection is not a good news unless we understand that we are dead. That we are dead in our sin. This is why blessed are you today in this Mass. Because today we understand, we are able to understand our baptism. This is exactly why we are baptized. In the early church, those who were baptized had to descend into a pool of baptism. In fact, even baptism means full immersion. Because it means we have to understand our situation. That my problem today, that the root of my suffering, is not the person in front of the door of my house. It's the fact that, brothers and sisters, that I am dead in my sin. That I live for myself. That I cannot come out of this slavery. That I cannot cure my own blindness. That I need somebody else to do it for me. This is exactly why, brothers and sisters, as Christians, we are baptized in water, which is the symbol of death, which means one dies in water. It's not you and me. You understand? It means that Christianity is not about making myself suffer. It's about destroying what truly makes me suffer today. And what truly makes me suffer is not the sin of the other, but my sin, my selfishness, my pride. This is why in a few moments we're going to baptize Lila Anna. And you know what's going to remain there? It's not her sin. It's not her. But Christ is able to destroy this whole man in sin of sin inside of her. But brothers and sisters, we need to experience this every day of our life. That Christ loves the sinner immensely. That he comes not to destroy us, but to give us eternal life by destroying sin for him. By opening the way to eternal life. And do you know what eternal life is? What is the sign that the Christian has eternal life? And with this, I shut up and I finish. You better give the answer quickly. I asked the kids at school, you know, like 2 days ago. The sign that we have eternal life is that we can love our enemy. This is the sign that we have eternal life. That we can love our enemy. That we can forgive. That their sin, their abuse, their injustice doesn't have power. That I'm able to love them as Christ loved them. That I can even give my blood for them, even as Christ gave his blood. If you understand this, you have found the treasure. Let us stand. Go. Actually, please. Sorry. Forgot that. Dear parents and godparents, you have come here to present this child for baptism. By water and the Holy Spirit, he is to receive the gift of new life.